This is Castle Playhouse. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, your hosts, the brewers of Castle Lager, bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Castle Playhouse.
Talk of the Dead.
The consciousness, stirring the senses. Voice tentacles from the darker yesterday. The half-forgotten past, half-remembered. Words across a wilderness of nothing vibrating. Talk of the dead.
Well, that's the end of the poem. If you feel you must applaud, now is the time.
Put on the lights, Jill. You're nearest.
Right.
Well, it sounds effective enough when you read it, Fedora. When I tried to, I couldn't make head or tail of it.
Oh, does it matter? I thought your only criterion was whether it sold or not.
Oh, please don't make me into a complete moron.
Shall I switch this tape recorder off?
If you would be so kind, Jocelyn.
Anyway, here's to you, Fedora, and to our seventh success.
Yes, rather.
Yeah. Congratulations, Mrs. Grant.
Just as well you made this a weekend party, Fedora. Looks rather as if you're going to be cut off again. And us with you.
That's why I made it a weekend party.
Mother takes the weather bulletin as gospel. It usually is.
Well, it was this time, Mrs. Grant.
And is the party complete? Not that anyone could join us now.
No, it isn't. I'm expecting Margaret and Andrew Shentle.
Oh, I don't know them, do I? Husband and wife?
Mother and son.
Well, it doesn't look as if they'll make it.
Look across at the road.
The road?
If it isn't underwater yet, then they've still got a chance to get here.
Oh, well, I'll have a look. Well, no, it isn't, but the water's perilously close.
And what happens when the road is underwater?
Oh, then we're cut off. Don't be alarmed, Mr. Parker. There's no real danger. We're far too high to be affected. As you can see, the road is also raised.
Oh, I'm not alarmed, Mrs. Grant, just interested. I'm not used to being cut off by the sea.
If you live in the British Isles, you must be. Anyway, you're not cut off yet.
I'd say it was only a matter of hours, Fedora, perhaps less.
We live on an island, and when the sea cuts the road, it's a small island, that's all. We have ample supplies of tinned food, quite apart from the extra supplies I ordered for the weekend. Hubert could afford to lose a bit of weight.
I say, that's a bit below the belt.
Well, your trouble, Hubert, is that you've always had too much below the belt.
What do your friends drive?
A car. What do you think, a drosky?
What make of car?
Oh, how on earth should I know?
It's a brown coupe.
Well, it could be at that. Well, it looks like they're going to make it. Oh, who are they, by the way?
Andrew is my doctor, dear boy. Margaret's his mother. Withered, 70-ish, untalented, uninteresting, unprepossessing, and really rather dull.
She sounds enchanting. I'm sure I shall like her. Intelligent people can be a little exhausting.
But they do make you your money, Hilton, dear. Something you should always remember.
Something I'm never allowed to forget.
It's these little verbal sallies which make life for the Grants so absolutely fascinating. To some.
A fast decreasing number.
Oh, I don't know.
No, darling, you don't.
I enjoyed your poem very much, Mrs. Grant.
Thank you. Did you understand it?
Well, I...
Who was it who said that good poetry could communicate without being fully understood?
T.S. Eliot, but that doesn't answer my question. Did you understand it, Mr. Parker?
I enjoyed it.
My mother's always been devoted to the playing of 20 questions, Mr. Parker. Only in her version, it resembles something between the third degree and the Spanish Inquisition.
Well, personally, I didn't understand it. I make no bones about it. It was quite beyond me. And I don't think I'm a complete fool.
That's been your drawback all through life, Hubert.
What has?
Your refusal to face facts.
Oh, really,
yes. Don't look so hurt, my dear. You're an extremely successful member of Her Majesty's Parliament. If you had brains, you probably wouldn't be. Anyway, your constituency adores you. That's the main thing. They understand you. You don't frighten them.
Honestly, Ursa, I don't know what to make of you sometimes. I don't know whether you're insulting me or what.
If I were you, Hubert, I'd remain in delightful ignorance. The dawn can be a little shattering.
Was the title of the poem, Talk of the Dead, inspired by your late husband, Mrs. Grant?
Good gracious, no. James loathed poetry. He loathed anything artistic. I think he may also have loathed me. You're not a reporter by any chance, are you?
No.
He works in a factory, Mother.
Doing what, Mr. Parker?
Well, I,
Working in the laboratory at Grant.
In steel.
Well, unless your late husband's enterprise has switched to something else.
Your facetiousness is not the conversationally enriching experience you seem to imagine, Jocelyn.
Yes, it is an old brown coupe.
And the water's lapping over the road. Oh, they just made it.
Oh, yes, that's Andrew's car. They've done the turn-off. Not that I wouldn't know that car a mile off anyway.
And that makes up the party.
It does.
I suppose you have a lightning conductor on this house?
Three. James had a positive mania for them.
Oh, good show.
You'll need bulkhead doors if this goes on much longer. Just try the telephone, will you, Gillian? It didn't sound very happy just then.
All right. Oh, you're right. Nothing doing. Dead as a doornail.
Well, really, it's the most tiresome thing. Every time we have the least storm, it packs up.
Well, I wouldn't say this is the least storm, Mother.
If I were to have an attack now, what would happen?
You'd have your doctor by your side within 2 minutes. I can hear the car now.
I'd better go out and meet them.
I'll come with you.
Okay, come on.
Who is that rather gauche young man?
You heard what Jill said. He works in the factory.
That is not what I meant, Hubert.
Oh.
Who is he?
You mean is he listed in Debrett or Burke?
Oh, Hubert, sometimes I wonder why I married you.
Surely, it was for his position, Ursula.
I imagine he's Gillian's current boyfriend.
Her current one? You make the series sound positively extensive. Isn't it about time she took the plunge? She's 29.
Does that seem so old?
To some, it might.
You were 32 when you married Hubert.
We had a very long engagement.
Give her time, Ursula. She's not likely to drop dead from old age for a few years yet.
Come in,
gentlemen. Oh, good evening,
my dear Fedora, congratulations.
Thank you.
Let me get you both a drink. I'm sure you need it. What will you have, Mrs. Shemple?
I think a little brandy, if that's possible, Mr. Campbell Davis.
Yes, of course. You, Doctor?
Scotch, please. Quite a lot of soda.
Ice?
Please, yes.
Now, who don't you both know? Oh, my publisher, Hilton Underwood.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And Paul Crane, creator of The Scorpion.
How do you do?
I think you've met everyone else.
Yes, hello.
Well, it seems you only just made it, Mrs. Chantal.
Another half hour and we wouldn't have done. Please forgive me, Mrs. Grant, for being so late. I'm afraid I haven't had a chance to change either.
I'm really quite cross.
We were all ready to set out, and inevitably the phone went and Andrew had to rush out to see a patient. A patient with a bleeding nose.
You can die of a bleeding nose.
So, I believe.
But no one ever does, or ever has, as far as I know.
Well, they'll cut off now, Doctor. So what happens if someone else has a bleeding nose?
Oh, I've got a locum until Monday morning.
Oh, I'm glad. And I'm glad you're here, Andrew. I'm living on borrowed time. It would be dreadful if I were to have an attack and nobody could get to me.
You're not going to have an attack. So the situation, even if I weren't here, doesn't arise. How are you feeling?
My heartbeat seemed a little on the fast side.
Did you have a phenobarb?
Yes, at 4.
Oh, good.
You did bring your bag with you, just in case.
I won't need it, but I did. Force of habit.
For a doctor, it's a sound habit.
Here you are, Mrs. Gentle.
Thank you.
Hey, doctor?
Oh, thanks. Cheers. Here's to talk of the dead.
It's talk of the dead, Andrew. There's a pause.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, here's to its success.
Well, Fedora's slim volumes are always a success.
Nobody else for a drink?
We're not all fishes, darling.
Well, I'd love one, Hubert, please. Sherry, dry.
Well, give us your glass.
And let me take yours too, Chris.
Thanks.
Oh, well, if it's going to develop into an orgy, I'd hate to be the only one sober. I'll have the same.
Say the magic word.
Please, Hubert, may I have another drink?
Well, of course, old girl.
And don't call me old girl.
Oh, sorry, old thing.
I wonder if black would suit me.
Oh, what do you mean? Green's your colour.
I think my dear sister would like to kill you, Hubert.
I suppose you don't keep a boat in the garage, do you, Mrs. Grant?
Oh, our isolation is now complete, then.
Well, I suppose a car could get through, a fast car, but it'll leave quite a wake.
When are we going to hear something from the new book, Fedora?
Well, we already have.
Oh.
I recorded it on the tape machine and then played it back. I didn't think you'd make it. Or even that you'd be particularly interested if you did.
I'd like to have heard some things. Is it too much to ask for a repeat performance?
Oh, I think so, Margaret. The assembled company seem to find a single performance rather trying on their nerves. A second might do for them altogether.
Well, perhaps later, then.
You know, Paul, it's really quite fascinating watching that road disappear.
Yeah, gives one ideas.
Hmm?
Oh, the usual, crime. Now, what an ideal situation for a crime, a robbery, or even murder. Think of it. The police powerless, unable to get through.
The murderer powerless and unable to get out.
Well, that's a good point. But he's foreseen that and made a plan.
Anyway, we're not cut off. There's the phone.
No, Andrew. The phone's dead.
Oh. Then we are cut off.
I thought doctors used the word isolated.
All right, isolated. I'm going to enjoy this. The phone is the bane of my existence. As a doctor, I suppose I should regret not being able to go to the aid of suffering humanity. But I don't. I relish it.
If I have another attack, you may have suffering humanity right here.
I don't anticipate a busman's holiday. My services will not be needed, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know so much.
What do you mean?
You don't do feet, do you?
Feet?
I've got the devil of a bunion, putting all my shoes out of shape.
I'll look at it later on. Can you wait?
Oh, yes, of course. Had it for years. 2 hours won't make much difference.
What is the time? My watch has stopped. Getting on for 6. It's quite dark outside. I think the curtains should be closed soon.
Oh, no, please. We're leaving for a bit. When the moon comes up, it's going to look quite beautiful out there.
Yes, it will. Especially if the water lies for a bit. It's a view I've seen many times. And it's a full moon tonight, isn't it?
I think it is, Mrs. Grant.
If it's not entirely obscured by rain clouds.
Yeah, that's quite a thought.
It's wonderfully peaceful when the water's up. So still, not a sound.
Of course, Margaret's been cut off here before, haven't you, Margaret?
I have indeed.
I thought sound carried over water.
It does. But the nearest house is 3.5 miles away. Mercifully. Building this particular house in this particular place was one of the few times James knew what he was doing.
That's hardly fair, Fedora. What about steel? What about Grant Enterprise?
That was largely inherited, as you well know, Hubert. James merely developed along certain well-defined lines. He also had a lot of luck.
You know, you should write a book about my dear father sometime, just to get him out of your system.
It's a little late in the day now, Jocelyn.
11 years, isn't it?
11 years.
Well, even I can remember that date. It was 11 years ago that you surprised me by sending me your first collection of poems, Fedora.
11 years? Seems less.
That tape recorder, it was James's, wasn't it?
What? Yes, it was. How odd that you should remember, Margaret.
Not odd, really. He once recorded my voice, not many months before he died.
And did you know you were being recorded?
Not at the time, no.
Oh, that was typical of James's sense of humor, if it could be called a sense of humor. He was always doing it to people and embarrassing them.
I wasn't embarrassed.
Then you're very lucky, Margaret. James was positively sadistic with that recorder. As a matter of fact, it was one of the few things closely associated with him that I kept after his death. It proved invaluable to get the sound of my poems. When I speak them, I can't hear them as well.
Surely that recorder is a bit out of date, isn't it?
Oh, it's adequate. Pointless wasting money.
Oh, I quite agree. Still, can't take it with you.
It would be a disappointment if I could. For my children, I mean.
Really, Mother?
It wasn't only Father who had a streak of sadism, apparently.
Do you mean it really was love of me that brought you both so dutifully into the country to celebrate with me the publication of my new book? I thought, in view of my fast declining health, that it was merely to remind me of your existence and expectations. Just shows how wrong one can be, doesn't it?
Well, Fedora, I suppose that's one way of killing the conversation stone dead.
Oh, sorry, Hilton, Mr. Crane. Forgive me, Margaret and Andrew. In fact, everybody outside our delightful family circle. We really love each other dearly, the Grants. It's only that as a group of people we're best apart. Far apart. Absence has a most beneficial effect on our hearts. Those of us who possess them.
You know, there are times when I don't take the Grants very seriously.
Try living with one sometime.
What about it, Joe?
Oh, Andrew.
I think it's a question of mutual stimulation, verbally, and of barks being very much worse than bites.
Could still be quite a nasty bite.
I hope you're using all this, Paul.
What?
Well, you had the locale. Couldn't you also use some of the characters, even some of the dialogue?
Oh, no, not really. I have to know my people and believe in them.
And you don't believe in us.
Oh, it's not that. I don't believe in you in relation to crime. That's all. I'm a crime writer. I don't believe in any of you being capable of evil doing on the scale that interests me. Murder.
I think this is rather a distasteful subject, and that we should not go on with it. Fedora, I should like to hear some of your verse. Surely if the others have already heard an excerpt from your book, we can hear something else from it.
Well, all right, but I've nothing else recorded.
Does it have to be recorded?
Poetry is a personal thing, and I personally can't speak my lines into the faces of people who are probably listening, only to be polite.
Please, Fedora.
Oh, I'm not suggesting that that's the case with you, Margaret. But people are very snobbish when it comes to verse. That's why I put my main poem, Talk of the Dead, onto tape. I find I can listen with other people's ears. The people who are actually listening with me.
or supposing that they are listening. But still, well, you really want to hear something?
Of course.
Oh,
I what have we got to lose?
Do you want the curtains drawn again, Mother?
Please, Jocelyn. They can be opened again afterwards for your full moon, Mr. Crane. Well, now, I hope I can remember it for you.
Will you be on lights again, Jill?
All right.
This one's called Flood. I wrote it almost exactly a year ago, when we were in rather a similar situation. In the preceding weeks, we'd had drought, so that the rain, and even the flood itself, came as a relief. And the rain fell, never-ceasing needles of silver, probing the countryside, cooling the hot earth, quenching the yearning trees, slaking the thirst of nature. Summer had brought us brown drought. After the blossoms, the dust. The land crying out.
It's us. Put the lights on quickly. No. She's dead. She's dead.
I'm rather glad you're here, Margaret. I shouldn't relish being here alone in the dark. Perhaps if you'd open the curtains, we might get a little light until they come on again.
Very well.
I'm very sorry if I frightened you.
What on earth are you doing, Mr. Parker?
Your son, Mrs. Central, wanted this bottle out of your car. I volunteered to get it for him.
But why come in this way?
Because, quite frankly, Mrs. Grant, I was blinded by that last flash. I just dashed for shelter. I thought I was going to be struck. I'm terribly sorry. Well, if you'll excuse me, I'll go and give it to Andrew.
I can't think what possessed him to ask you to go out in this.
Oh, he didn't. I volunteered. He forgot to bring his raincoat. Anyway, he didn't want to interrupt his analysis.
What is all this about analysis?
Well, Ursula's drink.
What about it?
Andrew thinks that it contained a large amount of cyanide.
When I was advocating crime an hour or so ago, I didn't think we'd be faced with one almost immediately.
You think Ursula's death wasn't, well, from natural causes, then?
I think it was murder. That's why I asked you all to be present. You and not the ladies.
Ursula murdered?
Yes, it seems unlikely. But I said also that I thought quite a number of those present in this house could be capable of murder in a given set of circumstances.
There is absolutely no chance of it being suicide.
You can't rule it out. But I don't think she was behaving characteristically. If there is characteristic behavior for an intending suicide.
And an accident is also out of the question?
I don't think people accidentally carry potassium cyanide around with them.
Potassium cyanide?
I analyzed what was left in the bottom of her glass. Fortunately, although the glass had broken, part of it was still intact on the floor. Even in what was left, there was enough to kill a horse.
Huh. That's rather an apt illusion.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Oh,
don't tell me we're suddenly becoming pious about the dead.
Of course not.
Or that you liked her.
No, but...
Or that you really cared whether she's dead or not. Well, I hardly knew her, but you don't have to know that type of woman for long to detest her. She was arrogant, selfish, opinionated.
All right,
I'm shocking you by saying what you're all thinking. It also shocks people to hear their own thoughts, but what I'm saying is true, isn't it? Even poor old Hubert, ass that he is, lying down there upstairs, wouldn't deny it.
He loved her.
And if you mean he had a mother complex, then I agree with you. He's weak. She was strong. She organized him. She was the backbone he lacked. But you know, even a jellyfish will turn. He'll learn to do without his backbone. In time, he'll even forget he needed one. He may even grow one of his own. No, as regards Ursula Campbell Davies, in the words of W.S. Gilbert, she never would be missed.
But if she didn't commit suicide... If she didn't accidentally take poison, if in fact she was murdered, who did it?
Yeah. It's an interesting question, isn't it? Who did it?
Do you mean that one of us in this room is a murderer?
Oh, not quite. Somebody in this house is a murderer.
Well, that's the same thing.
Well, very far from it. Also in this house, but not in this room, are three members of the opposite, or should I say gentle sex. Lying down upstairs in a state of actual or simulated collapse is Hubert, husband of the deceased, and, if he ever stopped to think, somebody who must have been heartily sick of her, quite apart from financial considerations.
There are none.
What about any inheritance from your mother, which would have gone to Ursula, and which now maybe goes on your mother's death to Hubert?
Hubert's a rich man. Anyway, you can rule him out. He wouldn't have the guts.
You could also rule out the gentle sex, as you call it, as well.
Why?
Well, for goodness...
I must say I agree with Jocelyn.
Only because you're feeling rather foolishly chivalrous. But why Jocelyn has beats me.
I'm beginning to see what makes you my best-selling crime writer.
Thank you, Hilton. Well, what about you, Dr. Chanel? You haven't jumped on the streetcar named Chivalry yet.
No. No, I haven't. Because I know what you're saying is both logical and apt.
Well, let's take the ladies first. There's Fedora Grant, also laying down upstairs. Personally, I don't think she's an infanticide, but you never know. She's old enough and life-scarred enough to look at her children dispassionately. I shouldn't think there was very much love lost between her and her daughter.
Matter of fact, Ursula had her eye on the main chance all the time.
The main chance being?
Her inheritance. A sizable sum. She's the oldest surviving child.
And the motive for her mother wanting to do away with her?
That's not so easy. I suppose I could suggest various half-reasons, but not serious ones. If you think that my mother is capable of being lethal with anything but her tongue, especially to her own daughter, then you're out of your mind.
Well, there she is, Fedora Grant. Not really a suspect, except that as there aren't many of us isolated here, we must consider everybody.
All I can say is that she's under enough emotional stress to have had another attack.
Actual or simulated?
Ursula was her daughter, Paul.
Then there's your mother, Dr. Chantel.
Even though I realize she's not a possibility, I am not going to throw up my hands at the suggestion. As you say, we have to examine every possibility. I would just remind you that she's a woman over 70, in failing health, without a motive, at least that I know of.
Well, thank you, Doctor. That's a sensible attitude. And you put your mother's case well.
Who's next? My dear little sister, Gillian. Oh, I suppose I should say my remaining sister, Gillian.
Yeah. Well, as you don't appear to be grieving too much, perhaps you'd care to tell her something about her.
Well, oddly enough, and without wishing to do her the dirt, she'd make rather a good suspect. She's as frustrated as anybody can be, for a number of reasons. Not the least of them being, of course, that she's been tied down here from the moment she got her degree.
Degree?
B.A. in physics. But she's never been allowed to use it. Or to do any of the things she's really wanted to. You see, from the moment she returned from university, she's been holed up here. An unpaid servant, getting her keeper's wages. I don't think she even gets pocket money. If Ursula or I had been more generous with our time, we might have been able to help her. But once having escaped from this house, we were loath to return, even in a helping out capacity. Just in case we got trapped again. I suppose in her own quiet way, she must bear quite a grudge against both of us.
The caged bird is always rather bitter about the one flying around outside.
Yes, you're right, Hilton. Mind you, although I can visualize her committing a sudden act of violence, well, I think we're all capable of that, I can't see her engaging in premeditated crime. And this was premeditated, wasn't it? Still, you never know.
Boyfriends?
She's had a few. She's not unattractive. But I think my mother, either by accident or design, and I suspect the latter, has always managed to kill their interest.
This all sounds like a motive for killing Fedora rather than daughter Ursula.
Oh, mother hasn't long to live, anyway. With Ursula out of the way, Gillian's inheritance will be that much larger.
But surely the same motive applies to you, Jocelyn?
Yes, it does. I only mentioned it so that our self-appointed detective should be aware of the facts. Oh, incidentally, just in case you think I'm being a bit callous about my own flesh and blood, Gillian isn't my own flesh and blood. Or did you already know that?
You mean you're an adopted son?
I mean Gillian is an adopted daughter. So, there you are. The third and last female suspect. That's the picture.
Not quite the complete picture.
Meaning exactly what?
Meaning that Jill and I are engaged to be married.
You are? Well, since when?
Since yesterday.
Well, congratulations.
Yes, of course.
Congratulations.
We decided to wait for an opportune moment to make the announcement. I realize that this is hardly it, but you might as well have the complete picture. And I'd rather you didn't mention it to Mrs. Grant. Not yet.
Oh, of course, yes, yes.
This is all rather interesting.
Sometimes, Paul, I can read you like one of your own books. You're thinking that all this supplies an additional motive, aren't you?
I'm thinking that it strengthens a motive, that's all.
All right, so we've finished with the ladies. Mrs. Grant, Gillian, and my mother. I think we're all agreed that none of them looks very likely, not just because of their sex and what we know of them, but mostly from the fact that they haven't a strong enough motive.
They haven't a strong enough motive that we know of.
All right, I accept the correction. Let's move on.
Well, we've already given Hubert, in his absence, some thought. He has quite a strong motive, and I've no doubt that it's even stronger than we think it is. But funnily enough, I imagine he's the one person who doesn't realize its strength.
Don't be too sure. He isn't quite as big a fool as he looks. He couldn't be.
There is just one other charming thought, Jocelyn.
Yes.
And what's that, Paul?
Is it going to stop at Ursula?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but could you please come, Andrew? Mother isn't too well. Neither's Hubert.
All right, Jill. Don't deal with me too harshly in my absence. I didn't do it.
Come on, Andrew.
Well, exit the marriage that might have been.
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, didn't you know? That's been old Margaret Gentle's dream for many a long year. What a hope. They like each other far too much to get married.
Jill never mentioned it.
Well, why should she? When she's got you. Now you're for the slaughter, she can relax.
I suppose that's meant to be both clever and funny. It seems neither to me.
Oh, don't get upset, Mr. Parker. Oh, Jill's not a bad catch, you know. Oh, especially now, when the inheritance is to be divided by two instead of three.
You're just a little bit careless, aren't you, Jocelyn?
I'm not over-devoted to crocodile tears, if that's what you mean. Perhaps the reaction will set in tomorrow. So old Andrew's escaped the net once more. Tough luck, Chris.
If you'll forgive me, I'm going to my room for a bit.
I don't think we'll actually be dressing for dinner tonight.
I can't help feeling that whoever murdered your sister made a mistake in his choice.
I hope you both heard that. Just in case he decides to murder me, too.
Mm. Do you think he's our man?
I don't see why not. He's as likely as anybody. Might be trying to increase his future wife's inheritance and consequently his own future pocket money. But I don't think he has that much initiative. Still, if I suddenly do get done in, you'll know who'd done it.
Yes. That would make Jillian something of a scoop, wouldn't it?
What's the weather like now?
Oh, it's stopped raining. Has for more than half an hour.
Well, then, barring more rain, how long will it be before the road reappears and we cease to be cut off?
Oh, tomorrow midday, I guess. Why? I thought you were rather enjoying all this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll probably use some of it in one of my stories, but just at the moment, I'm intent on saving life.
And what are you getting at, Paul?
What I'm suggesting is for your own safety as well as my own, Jocelyn. I'm suggesting that if we're all in this room until tomorrow, nothing can possibly happen.
Except that we shall all go mad.
At least we shall all be alive.
I really believe you are scared.
The enemy I can see, I can handle. I'll take on anybody in this house, if necessary, any two in this house. An attack made on anybody, and if we're all together, can be handled easily. But I think there's danger in us being all over the house.
United we stand, divided we fall.
It could be.
Well, I think that's a sound scheme, Paul.
Well, I suppose we can all get blind, stinking drunk. He said that that's what Ursula had in mind, wasn't it? Didn't do her much good. Does that mean we can't have a drink? But if so, I think I'd rather take the chance of being alone in my room with a bottle and the door locked. I don't think I could stand everybody together again for 16 hours non-stop without a drink.
We could open new bottles with everybody looking on and each pour our own drinks. That should preclude everything. Except suicide.
Got to sit in this wretched wheelchair all night, then.
Yes, Mother, I'm afraid you have. This is where your delight in making witty conversation can have full reign. Witty conversation will be at an absolute premium in the small hours.
I must tell you, Mr. Crane, that I'm not in favor of your methods. I don't think that my daughter met with anything but a natural death.
It was Dr. Shentle who diagnosed Mrs. Campbell Davies' as cause of death, not me.
Yes, I'm afraid it was.
Even a doctor can be wrong.
Of course. But not in this case.
Is it really necessary that I be here?
Well, in order to be absolutely certain of a number of things, I'm afraid it is.
Very well.
Paul, I think you should explain to everybody just what you've planned.
Yeah, very well. Now, I realize that I'm an outsider among you. The only outsider here. The Hilton's almost one of the family. But that, in a way, far from disqualifying me from my self-appointed position, is almost a recommendation. I think that maybe most of you will resent my actions, and that I can appreciate. I can only hope that by the time I finish speaking, you'll all at least understand my position and agree with the line I'm taking.
Well, for heaven's sake, get it over, and I can go back to bed.
I'm afraid not. For my plan to succeed, we've all got to remain together in this room until our enforced isolation ends.
And when will that be?
If the rain doesn't start again, about lunchtime tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Well, as I've already said, I'm an outsider. The way I see it, there could be a repetition of what's happened tonight.
For heaven's sake.
Well, I know it's unlikely, but it's possible.
I don't agree. You see, Ursula wasn't...
You don't agree, Jill, because you can't visualize any one of us here killing your sister.
But the cold, hard fact is that someone did kill her. Now, look, I don't want to upset your mother or you or anybody more than is absolutely necessary. I don't even want to go into all the reasons why now. What I do want is for us all to remain together in this room until we regain contact with the outside world.
But that may not be until tomorrow morning.
I know that. Won't be very comfortable. And not for any of us, but I think it's the only plan.
Well, let me give us all a drink whilst we consider. Everybody's here now, so you can all watch me open a new bottle.
Oh, why the heck's causing the lights to flicker like that?
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Crane. It often happens. It happened an hour or so ago.
Yeah, I know.
But I thought you said we were on batteries now, Jill.
We are, Chris. Oh, are we? They took over whilst you were lying down. The power supply was cut more than half an hour ago.
How long do the batteries last?
Almost indefinitely. They work on more or less the same system as car batteries, except that the takeover, when the mains electricity pegs out, is automatic. But they don't often flicker, do they, Mother?
Oh, they do sometimes. Don't worry, any of you. They don't go out and stay out.
Well, what's everybody having? Let's start with scotch.
What about you, Margaret?
Nothing at the moment, thank you.
I'd like a small one with soda.
Small with soda, right. Jill?
Not for me, thank you.
I hope the lights are not going to play up like this all night. Andrew?
Yes, please.
There you are, then. Come and help yourself, will you?
I do.
Just take that one to my mother, would you? With the soda. Mm-hmm. Now, you all saw that it was a new bottle. And just to prove that I'm not trying to kill anyone, I'm going to have one myself.
It was your sister who died tonight, Jocelyn.
I don't think Ursula would have wanted tears from me. I'm not much good at them anyway. I'll try in private tomorrow.
I suddenly find I don't know you, Jocelyn.
I'm afraid that's our personal tragedy. Mr. Crane?
Not for the moment, thank you.
Oh, I'll have one, Jocelyn, with water, please. No ice.
Right. Come and get it.
Can I get one for you at the same time, Mr. Parker?
May I have a brandy?
Oh, dear, you are difficult. Very well. Please watch, everybody. I am about to open a new bottle of brandy. Do you want anything with it?
No, thanks. Neat.
One brandy coming up.
Oh. Lights have stayed out this time. What happens now, Fedora?
I don't know. This has never happened before. Oh, they'll come on again, I'm sure.
All stay where you are, please.
Really, Mr. Crane?
All stay exactly where you are.
Well, it doesn't look as if they're going to come on.
Which of the men here knows where the batteries are? Which one?
Oh, I do.
All right. What I suggest is this.
What I suggest is that we light the candles in the candelabra on the mantelpiece.
All right. Just a minute. Yeah. Oh, I see them. Well, that's something, anyway.
Oh, that won't last all night. I think we should go to the source of the trouble.
You think you can fix it?
Human mechanisms are rather more complicated than man-made ones. I ought to be able to.
It may have been struck.
I rather doubt it. Anyway, I'll go, if nobody has any objections.
I have.
Oh? Then what do you suggest?
I suggest that we all come with you. All the men, that is.
Whatever for?
Firstly, one man might not be able to fix it. Then somebody else will have to join him. In that way, our forces will be split. And if one of the men is, well, dangerous. He may overpower the person he's with. No, it's better if we all go, the six of us. Then if one of us is unreliable, the other five will be able to cope quite easily.
And if one of the women decide to attack the other two, what then?
I'm not much help.
Yeah, all right, Hewitt. Yeah, three men go and three stay. That should be pretty safe.
Right. Well, who goes?
Oh, I suggest Andrew, you, Mr. Parker, and myself.
Nothing doing. I'd rather stay, for obvious reasons. Also, I know nothing about batteries.
But you work in the laboratory, Chris.
It's not quite the same thing, I'm afraid.
Well, then you'd better come with Andrew and me, Hubert.
Oh, very well. That leaves Jocelyn, Mr. Underwood, and myself.
It does. Come on, Andrew. Come on, Hubert.
All right. I can't think what can be wrong. It's never happened before.
Well, there was a flash immediately before it went out.
Well, probably one of the leads has become disconnected. That flash was quite close.
I hope you're right, Hilton.
Well, if that's the case, it should only take a couple of minutes to repair. Well,
whereabouts is the motor house?
Surely it's a little pointless explaining that, Mr. Parker. You hardly know the house.
I think I know it rather better than you realize, Mrs. Grant.
Oh. Well. Oh, it's just behind the double garage.
That little green-painted hut with the thatch?
That's right. That's the powerhouse. How do you know the workings so well?
I have been taking Jill out for some time.
I'm aware of that. I didn't realize that taking Jill out occasionally entailed such a knowledge of the geography.
Please, Mother. Are you going to marry Jill, Mr. Parker?
Well,
are you, Mr. Parker?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Forgive my prying, Mr. Parker, but I have known Jillian since she was a child, and I'm naturally interested. Have you proposed?
Yes, I have.
And I've accepted.
I see. I think it might have been common courtesy to mention the fact to me.
Please forgive me, Mrs. Grant, but the opportunity has hardly presented itself.
I see.
But you don't see.
Oh, the lights are on. Thank heaven for that.
Please don't blame Jill, Mrs. Grant.
I'm sure Fedora's not blaming anyone. An engagement is hardly the time to start blaming anybody.
There was a time when parents were consulted about such things.
Mrs. Grant, we were going to tell you, but it only happened yesterday. But we didn't want to intrude on your celebrations this weekend.
I quite understand, Mr. Parker. I suppose I'd better start calling you Christopher.
Some water had shot at two of the terminals, so Andrew said.
That flash of lightning did it. Apparently released some water somewhere, which poured through the shed.
Well, we've only one reservoir, which was nearly empty anyway, so it shouldn't happen again.
Well, you've earned your drink, Andrew. Here's to you. I suppose it'd be rather macabre to toast Ursula. The Irish do it at wakes.
It seems a little negative, Jocelyn. I'll toast the living. Gillian and Mr. Parker. Oh, Christopher. They're engaged to be married.
Oh, you know.
I do.
Oh, good luck. Oh,
congratulations, Jill.
I think perhaps I will have a drink after all.
All right. Cheers. That's better. Right. Now, what do you want?
Whiskey on the rocks.
Yes.
My drink! Something...
Strange, isn't it? In another year, we shall probably be able to talk dispassionately about all this. We're too near it at the moment, even to see who the murderer is.
At least two of us won't be able to look back on it dispassionately.
Ursula and Rosalind?
No, Fedora and myself. Don't look so disbelievingly, Mr. Parker. A year from now, Fedora and I will be dead. We shall be lucky to last half that time.
You're joking.
I wish I were. No, I don't think I do, really. Fedora won't see another year, and neither shall I.
But why?
You're really very naive, Mr. Parker. Both Fedora and I are in our 70s. At least Fedora has just entered them. I have a year or two start. As you know, Fedora is a very sick woman. Her stroke didn't help matters. Andrew has told me she can't possibly live very much longer. He should know. It's only her mind which keeps her going. An ordinary woman in her state of health would have died long since.
Yes, but...
Spare yourself the embarrassment, Mr. Parker. I know what you're going to say. What's the matter with me other than old age? I'll tell you. Or rather, I'll spare you the unpleasant details. I have an incurable disease. Don't look so shocked. If Andrew says it's incurable, then it's incurable. He's an excellent doctor, believe me. I must be philosophical. I've more than achieved my 70. It's no good my complaining. Many people don't, you know.
You're a very unusual woman, Mrs. Schentel.
I think I'm very ordinary. That is, in most things. Let's talk about something else. I imagine they won't be very much longer. Still, we may as well fill in the time somehow. You were here for talk of the dead, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
What did you think of the excerpt you heard?
I thought it was very good, although I didn't understand it completely.
That sounds suspiciously like snobbery.
No, I promise you it
isn't. Please don't explain. I know exactly what you mean. I've read quite a lot of Fedora's poetry. James didn't understand it either. James was her husband, you know.
I didn't realize that Mr. Grant was even aware that she wrote poetry.
Oh, yes, he hated it. Mind you, knowing James, he might have had a little more regard for it had he realized it was a saleable commodity. James was first and last a businessman. At best, he humored it. At worst, he tore it up when he found it. There was no love lost there.
Yes, I heard that. But why?
It's a long story.
I'd be interested to know. It really sort of concerns me.
Well, I'll try and make it as short as possible. Gillian is a doctor, as of course you know.
Yes, I did know.
Before James married Fedora, he had quite a reputation. There were hints of children in the most unlikely places. Of course, even then, when he hadn't come into the business, he had more than enough money to get him both into and out of trouble. Well, Fedora, who was a very lovely young thing at the time, managed to get a wedding ring out of her association with James. The other competitors were furious, especially a young nurse who had rather thought the whole contract was signed and sealed.
He must have been quite a boy.
Oh, he was. Anyway, he married and settled down.
And now Gillian is the heiress to a large estate.
Yes. And you're going to marry her. You seem to have played your cards rather well, Mr. Parker.
That's not quite fair, Mrs. Shenkel.
But one way or another, the deaths of Jocelyn and Ursula have been rather fortuitous, haven't they?
I intend looking after Gillian, whether she has any money or not.
I'm sorry, Mr. Parker. I didn't mean to upset you. Certainly not to make fun of you. I'm afraid at my age, one has few illusions left. One sees things as black or white, or not at all. I don't think I'd really blame you if your actions were not quite as disinterested as you say they are. Oh, if that coffee doesn't arrive quickly, we shall lapse into silence and me into sleep. Please forgive me, Mr. Parker. So many subjects seem to have been taboo tonight. Shall we talk about Fedora's writings? That seems pretty safe.
I don't really know anything about it, I'm afraid. We only heard the main poem, Talk of the Dead.
I should like to have heard that. I suppose I never shall now.
You'll be able to read it sometime. Well, that's if you haven't already.
No, I haven't. Oh, well, I have my own Talk of the Dead.
I'm afraid I don't understand you.
I have a recording of James Grant, the late lamented. I didn't realize I still had it. However, I haven't a tape recorder. I brought the tape with me tonight. I thought it might interest Fedora to hear it. James has been dead for 11 years now. I thought I could play it with safety. How wrong I was. It's such an interesting tape, too.
Well, maybe there'll be an opportunity for you to hear it before the weekend finishes.
I doubt it.
I could set it up for you now. I know how to work this machine.
Could you? No, better not. If Fedora suddenly heard James' voice coming from this room, it would upset her terribly. I'd better forget about it. I wonder what's happened to that coffee. Watch pot, I suppose. Oh, well.
I work for Grant's in the laboratory.
Do you? I didn't know.
I'd be very interested to hear the voice of James Grant. He's always been a sort of legend to me. I can't imagine what he'd sound like.
Perhaps you ought to hear it. Especially as you seem to be in the line for the managing directorship. Oh, dear, I seem to be giving you so many shocks tonight, Mr. Parker. Gillian, presumably, will inherit the whole concern. And you, even before that, will presumably inherit Gillian.
You say that almost as if you disliked the idea of my marrying Gillian.
Why should I have any feelings either way? What I meant was that whereas the Grant inheritance would be split up till 6 or 7 hours ago, three ways, it now appears that it won't be split at all. Gillian is the sole heir, the sole surviving heir. Ursula had no children and Jocelyn wasn't married. So it all comes to Gillian, to you. Doesn't that worry you at all, Mr. Parker?
How do you mean?
It means that other than Gillian, who would scarcely attack her own family, you have the strongest motive for committing the two murders which have occurred in this house tonight.
But you obviously don't think I am the murderer, do you, Mrs. Shenkel?
Why do you say that?
Because of your willingness to be left alone in the room with me when the others left to make coffee.
I'm an old woman, Mr. Parker, and very little now can alter the course of my life. Besides, there could be very little to be gained by your murdering me.
According to Mr. Crane, certain types of murder don't need either motive or opportunity. Their total gain and satisfaction is in the act itself.
I do believe you're trying to frighten me, Mr. Palmer.
No, I'm not. You're quite obviously not frightened, Mr. Shentle. As I said a moment ago, you didn't mind being left alone with me because you don't think I'm the murderer. Am I right?
Yes, of course you are. Now, let's leave this rather dangerous subject, shall we?
Please. And may I leave this chair? Just the knowledge that I can't is making me rather restive.
Yes, of course. Perhaps you would help me with a recorder after all. Then perhaps, when Fedora is sleeping, we could play it very softly.
All right. Where's the tape?
Oh, in my light traveling bag. In my room, I think.
That's not the bag, is it, down by the side of the bookcase?
Yes, it is. Oh, good.
Ah, here you are.
know how to set it up?
Yes, I set the tape up for Talk of the Dead.
Oh.
This comes off.
I don't think this plugs far enough in. Oh dear, it won't go.
Oh, here, let me. I think you'd better let me put...
Even the going down of the water hasn't released us.
At least it's given us police protection.
It can't be long now, Hubert.
I can't quite see where the delay is in there.
Neither do I. Fred is a Pikestaff. The fellow is a triple murderer. I can't think what possessed him.
I can. Money.
But he must have known that he'd get found out, that he had the strongest motive. The police were onto him in 2 tools. They haven't let him out of there since they arrived.
Poor Gillian.
Poor Ursula. Poor Jocelyn. At least Gillian's alive.
And how long would she have remained so if she had married him?
He's mad, of course.
For a madman, he seems to have had quite a bit of method. Anyway, if we're levelling accusations of madness at anyone, we'd better not omit mention of ourselves.
What do you mean?
Who left my mother alone with him?
We did, Andrew. We went to make coffee.
If that wasn't madness, then I don't know what is.
It's no good thinking like that.
I realize it won't bring her back. But it doesn't mean that those who are to blame shouldn't be made aware of the fact.
There was no indication.
Other than the fact that he had about the strongest motive of anyone.
Other than Gillian.
Oh, for goodness sake. Gillian's a woman. If it was her brother and sister who died.
Her foster brother and her foster sister.
Do you really think that made any difference?
No, I don't. But it could have done.
How did he do it?
Oh, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? He held her hand over the prongs of the plug and forced her to drive it home.
But why?
Why?
Well, I'm sure he ran a considerable risk.
No, not really. If there'd been any water about, he would have, but there wasn't.
But he still must have got a shock.
He may have done. But some people don't mind shocks. They even have a beneficial effect. And this one wouldn't have been very strong.
It was enough to kill your mother, Andrew.
My mother was a woman of 70, in failing health. She hadn't long to live.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, nobody did.
So you think he risked a bad shock in order to kill her? But why? What possible motive could he have for killing her? Ursula and Jocelyn, yes, but her...
That's what's worrying me, Hubert.
She may have discovered something. My mother had a very quick brain. Amazingly so for a woman of her age. He silenced her.
Would you all like coffee?
Oh, please, yes.
Good idea.
Thanks. Black and as strong as possible.
What about you, Andrew?
Yes, please, Julia.
How are you feeling, Jill?
Oh, I don't know. Same as you, I suppose.
Very thoughtful of you to go and prepare the coffee.
I didn't have to. It was already done. This was the coffee you all went to prepare last night. I'm sorry, Andrew.
That's all right.
Well, let me help you. And here you are, Paul.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, you brought a lot of cups.
Well, I suppose we shall have to give the inspector some in there.
Oh, of course, yes.
I'll take it in just a minute. Here you are, Andrew.
Oh, thanks. Believe me, I'm sorry, Jill.
But why? It's I who should say that to you.
I wasn't thinking of Mother just at that moment. I was thinking of Chris Parker.
I don't understand.
Well, the police keeping him in there.
Oh, only because he was with your mother when she died. You don't mean you think... You don't think that Chris deliberately... Oh, but you can't.
What else can we think, Jill?
Oh, but that's so stupid. It was an accident. She lost her balance. Chris tried to help her. And somehow the plug went into the socket with her finger still on the prongs. Chris himself got a bad shock. Oh, I'm sorry, Andrew. This must be very painful for you. You didn't really think that Chris had killed your mother, did you? But you couldn't have done.
We all think he did, Gillian. I'm sorry.
But then you think he killed Ursula and Jocelyn.
Yes, that's true.
That too? Oh, but you can't. You don't know Chris. How can you?
Look, it's reasonable to suppose that if they can prove somebody killed one of the three, then he also killed the other two. Chris Parker killed Andrew's mother. Therefore, it's reasonable...
It's not reasonable. Anyway, Chris did not kill your mother, Andrew. It was an accident. And if it wasn't, then...
You see, Gillian, there is no then.
There could be.
Don't.
The inspector would like to see you again, Mr. Crane.
Oh, thanks. How are you feeling now, Mrs. Graham?
I'm alive, which, considering the night, is surprising.
Coffee, Mother?
Thank you.
What's happening in there?
Oh, they're asking the same questions, I imagine, from all of us. Mr. Parker's just sitting there. I presume it's him you want to know about.
Do you think that he killed Mrs. Shentor?
He was surely instrumental in killing her, Julian. Whether accidentally or willfully remains to be seen.
Do you think it'll ever be seen?
No. Not unless there's a confession.
You all believe that he did it, don't you? You'll be proved wrong.
If the day progresses as the night, then I doubt if there'll be any of us left to be proved wrong. Oh, I'm suddenly very tired of everything. Perhaps I haven't yet fully realized my loss. Perhaps the drugs that Andrew's been giving me have deadened my feelings.
Mother.
Perhaps I have no feelings, or that I'm dead already. I don't know. I'm not really thinking of anything or anybody but myself. And then only to a small degree.
You know, I think we're all being rather hasty in our judgments. Has anyone bothered to listen to Chris Parker's explanations?
I have.
Yes?
He said he had a talk with your mother, Andrew. And that they decided a number of subjects were taboo. They discussed a lot of things generally. And then your mother said something about a tape recording she had which she wanted to play. And the wall plug was apparently out. And whilst Chris was rigging up the tape, she tried to push the plug into the wall. It was stiff, and the effort of pushing threw her off balance. Chris came up behind her, and she caught his hand, just as the plug went home. There was a blue flash. Chris staggered back.
Yes, the rest we know. I can't think why that plug should have been out of the socket anyway. Unless Jocelyn pulled it out when he switched her recorder off last night. It was Jocelyn who switched it off, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, it was.
That's funny.
Oh, do be careful, Hilton.
Nobody's touched this plug since it happened.
No. Oh, the police did. I was here then, but nobody has since. Well, what's wrong?
Well, I was wondering about two things. If this plug was fixed so that whoever touched it got electrocuted anyway, I mean, without touching the prongs.
And is it fixed?
No. Unless, of course, the police unfixed it.
Which I'm practically sure they didn't. They didn't spend enough time on it for that.
Andrew, your turn again.
Oh, right. Thanks.
What are you doing, Hilton?
Trying to outdo the gentleman next door.
And what was the other thing you were worried about, Hilton?
The ease with which this plug goes into and comes out of this socket.
Why, I don't quite understand.
Well, neither do I. Temperature has something to do with it, I suppose. Though I shouldn't think the temperature in this room has changed much. Yeah. This plug is really extremely loose.
So what?
So I don't see why a woman, even as fragile as Mrs. Shentor, couldn't push it in without losing her balance and needing help.
You mean Parker's lying about what happened?
Have you turned against him too, Mr. Underwood?
There is an alternative on the tape recorder, Gillian.
Oh, please, Hilton. I don't think that even I could stand talk of the dead today.
According to Chris, this is rather different talk of the dead.
What?
I think the one on the spool is Mrs. Shentor's one. Chris said he changed them just before it happened.
But what tape is this, then? Surely not the one Margaret was talking about last night. The one that James recorded.
I think that is the one, Mother.
Would it upset you, Fedora?
Oh, I don't think I could stand...
Then what are you doing over there by the wireless?
I caught a little light music in the background.
James is...
Then why didn't you put it on?
Because, my dear Margaret, I suddenly realized that all the services carry sports commentaries at this time on a Saturday afternoon.
Where's Fedora?
In the village, she says.
What do you mean, James?
Well, she could be up to anything. Couldn't she?
It's a little late in the day for all of us.
How you've changed.
I think we all have in... How many years is it?
Oh, please, Margaret. You're in a positively sadistic mood this afternoon.
And you're up to something. I don't trust you when you're like this, James. But then I never did trust you, did I? With very good reason.
How is Andrew? Is there any news yet?
Well, that's really what I came to see you about this afternoon.
There is news?
There is.
Margaret, stop playing with me. It's good news, isn't it? He's passed?
Yes. You can cut the allowance again.
I'm more excited than I can tell you. I think I'm a proud father for almost the first time.
Yes. What about Fedora's lovely children?
Ursula and Jocelyn. They mean little or nothing to me.
Gillian?
Oh, she's a good kid, worth 10 of Ursula. But when I think of the other two, I realize they inherited more from Fedora than from me. Andrew proves it.
You weren't his only parent, James. I was also involved, remember? What you're getting so dewy-eyed and paternal about
is probably what he inherited from me.
Margaret.
I should have married you, shouldn't I?
As I've already said, it's a little late in the day to start talking like that. However, it would certainly have made a small matter of inheritance a little easier than it is likely to be at present.
What do you mean?
Oh, I'm not thinking of myself.
You mean Andrew?
Who else?
He won't be forgotten. I'll see to that.
It'll look funny in a will, won't it?
I don't care how funny it looks. I'm not ashamed of the boy. For two pins, I'd leave him the lot.
As he appears to be your favorite child, would that be so outlandish?
I'm afraid it would, rather. Now, don't worry, Margaret. Andrew will have his fair share. Oh. If Ursula and Jocelyn should die first, then he'll have even more. But I shouldn't bank on that. They're a couple of years younger.
They are. Instead of helping at their births, I suppose I should have wrung their pretty little necks.
I believe you would, too. You don't let anything stand in your way, do you?
I usually get what I want, James. You were the exception. Sometimes I have to wait a long time.
Oh, please, switch it off.
I'll get it in the end.
Don't think I can stand anymore.
Oh, very well, all right.
I'm afraid we've all misjudged your fiancé, Gillian.
I don't understand, though.
It's really most painfully simple. It was Margaret. She probably decided years ago to do this. She simply waited her opportunity. She always wanted Andrew to marry you. Now I see why. James wasn't as good as his word. He didn't remember his son Andrew in his will. So the way for him to ensure his inheritance was to marry it. At least that's how Margaret saw it. And if there was only one child to inherit instead of three, it would be that much larger.
She must have been mad, mustn't she?
I think we're all a little mad.
If you don't mind, I'll go in and see the inspector. I want to tell Chris.
Very well. Tell Andrew to come out first, though. It's rather strange, but it seems we have a lot to make up to him.
And be sure to tune in next Wednesday night at 8, and every Wednesday night for the week's finest radio entertainment, brought to you for your listening pleasure by your hosts, the Brewers of Castle Lager. So until next week, then, a very good night to you all.